Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Q&A episode, where we'll try to answer your questions in a timely manner. That worked. Yeah. All right, welcome, guys. Welcome to the Fall of the House Sunshine Q&A episode. I'm Matt Berger. I'm the co-creator, and I do lyrics and music.
I'm Jonathan Goldberg. I am the co-creator. I do the words, and I help with lyrics sometimes.
I'm Marcus. I don't actually know what my official title is. I mixed the show and we recorded it in my apartment and I did some sound design.
I'm Will. I mixed the music for the show for the second season and helped record some stuff in Marcus's apartment.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. That was great. We recorded mostly out of Marcus's apartment minus one day at
the Buddy Project.
Buddy Project. All in Astoria. It was fun. We did that last December and now here we are on a hot August afternoon with all of the AC turned off in my apartment, hunched over my bed so that my daughter can sleep at the other end of the house. This is a super professional behind the scenes look at a real million-dollar money-making podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. And also thank you because honestly, if you're listening to this, either something terrible has happened, you've fallen and something has pinned you to the ground and your iTunes is just continuing to play random podcasts for you, or most likely you've listened to the entirety of season two of The Fall of the House of Sunshine and you have some questions and you want to listen. So thank you for doing that. That really means a lot to us. We've been working on this, like I said, since last December when we started recording. John wrote the outline and the original script in 2016, end of 2016. And I started working on music in mid-2017. We all got together and then met in Astoria and recorded with our awesome cast. There's one member of the team that's not here tonight. That's Rob Heath, Ramblin' Rob Heath.
That is his honorific.
That's his honorific. That's right, as the queen has deemed. And he was an assembler. He took a lot of the stuff. He did a lot of the basic work on stuff right off the bat, got everything in order. And then Marcus made it sound cool.
And he did some of the sound design too.
That's right. That's right. And I guess we're talking about that. We also for the first couple episodes we had Mutt in to do sound design as well. So that was cool. That's the team. So guys, I'm excited. We're done. We're done with season two. Sort of seems like life can begin again.
Everyone slept.
I sort of checked out after episode 13. I don't even know what's going on. I keep having announcements on my phone telling me I need to put up a podcast this week. It keeps coming up because I used to have three in there so I wouldn't miss it. And I freak out and then I'm like, no, it's good. It's fine. So I'm happy that's happening. But I was wondering if we could just go around and really quickly, you could say something that it was a pretty cool season. I feel like we did a lot of cool stuff. Tell me something you're proud of and then maybe something you're glad the season's over. You can work on this next or what you're doing next. John?
I'm just really excited about how all the sound design turned out. Honestly, I put in a lot of crazy things and they actually came together and actually sound like what I kind of had in my head with that. So having a bunch of robots turn into vehicles and then turn into a giant robot.
And that was amazing. Well,
yeah,
done.
It all sounded really good. So that was really exciting that hearing those things come to life every week, starting from that script stage and then moving on from there.
What are you up to now? What are you working on next?
Well, working on season three of the show. I'm working on...
Oh, right.
working on, I'm having to do Brushtown Stories. We're probably going to try to do something like that again. Hoping... I'm working on some
Fuzztown Stories now?
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
It is. Did you just guess that?
Wait, that was...
That's for real? We're not very smart.
No. They're very basic.
Wow.
That's great. Yeah, I can't wait for those.
And then working on some other stuff with Roy Gold to make things, and then trying to get some stuff done in theater. We'll see if anything happens there also. And that's basically where I am.
That's great. Marcus, well, what were you proud of from the season? What do you got coming up?
I think I'm about it similarly proud of the sound design for those last couple episodes. Just like the first ladies turning into the giant robot was a quite proud moment of like, just, it was so fun. And then the like all the Godzilla-esque sound design, you know, I remember reading it and going like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then, you know, it just kind of, I watched a lot of YouTube videos and then it happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you guys all liked it, because
we loved it.
When I sent it, there was definitely like I'm like, man, are they going to like, it's like, they're going to send me notes and be like, what is
probably,
this?
You probably should have done something worse, because what you literally did was like, we're idiots. And we were like, we had something in mind that was impossible and you made it happen. So now we just expect the world of you from now on. So like, oh yeah, it was as easy as we thought it was. Marcus Ms. Magic.
I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, those were good.
That, I don't know how to take that.
Never again. Yes. And what do you got coming up? What are you working on now that this is done?
So I'm still in the tooth first. I'm working on Chompers right now.
Chompers is
a podcast. The twice daily podcast for brushing your teeth. It's put up by Gimlet Media. So I've been mixing that like nonstop for a while.
You just told me continuing. That the story arc finished with...
Oh, yeah, we...
With Walter White Blood Cell?
Walter White Blood Cell. It actually, it's actually not out yet. It's coming out on Sunday.
Well, we'll save this for next week.
The final
Ozymandias
episode of the trilogy.
Jeez. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ozymandias. Was that the final? That was the second to last episode. So I'm doing that. I'm also working on an EP that I just started sort of conceptualizing. The first part is just me going up to Maine whenever I get a chance and doing field recordings, and then I'm gonna compose a bunch of music.
That's awesome.
For string quartet and some other stuff sort of around the field recordings. So I'm working on that.
That's rad.
Expect that in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, can't wait. And you'll have your Christmas album will come out before then. So we'll post that. Your yearly Christmas album.
We'll see. All might right. be a yearly two songs.
That's this, great. This year. Yeah, Christmas single. That's all you need. Will, what are you happy with from the season, and what do you got coming up?
I'm really proud of Marcus's sound design.
Yeah, man, it's really good. It's just, it's solid stuff.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
What is sound design?
It's downloading other people's sound effects from online and then putting them all together.
That's how the pros do it.
Yeah. And what are you proud of, and what do you got coming up right now?
I'm proud of how the stuff sounds. That's pretty much what I've imparted to the
music.
How the music sounds. It's kind of like I mixed an EP every week for the past better part of a year.
It's like a Pat Pattison challenge, like
something like that.
Like EP a week,
write a song a day.
Yeah, seriously. What are you working on now? You got cool stuff for Doc's Basement, or?
Yeah, well,
I'm always working on.
I'm always mixing stuff. I'm thinking I might write an EP, start writing some music, at least some instrumental tracks.
Are you going to go to New Hampshire and record some?
No, I think I'm going to do it in my apartment.
Oh, clever. That's great.
Yeah. Awesome. New Jersey.
We'll post it. Yeah, New Jersey.
New Hampshire, but lower.
But Jerseyer, yeah. We'll post all any of that stuff. Seriously, we'll put us on the Twitter.
5 to 10 years
on the Twitter in 5 to 10 years, if Twitter exists in 5 to 10 years. Cool. I was gonna say I'm really proud of Will's work. It is literally last year I did all the mixing myself and then sent it to Nick, who was our producer last year, our engineer. And this year, anything that happened with vocals where there was like cool reverb or phasing or multiple takes from like that was all Will. And so it really brought out and the mat, like, you know, the kind of cool parts of each song, made it feel like EPs.
Say, like, every time we got to a new episode, I thought like the coolest song had already passed. Like, this is also Matt, like, but like
it is, it's only like, really
yeah, no, it did just keep getting better.
No, it's just like, kept, it's like, I was like, man, that's got to be my favorite song of the season. There's no way that it could possibly get better than that. And like every episode, it got better.
I think that, like, so I'm really proud of that stuff. I think that, I mean, like, it's something like 45, 50 songs, and Will, you killed it. That was great. I know, right? Hard to look back at your life right now, right? 45 songs. What have I been doing? And I'm just looking forward to, my daughter's going to start school this fall, so I'm taking some time off to take care of that.
Yeah.
She had her first dentist appointment today, and she killed it. This is like the small, like, little joys in life that make me really happy.
You're like a toothbrushing specialist.
I know. It's weird. I was there. I was there, and I had a lot of things I wanted to tell them about.
Do you, like, leave, like, a card with the dentist?
I do. I have, like, a CD I leave. And then I'm working on some board games. I'm going to make some board games this fall. Ooh. That's my hobby. And so, but then also I have actual work to do for Roy Gold. We're going to do Fuzz Town. We're going to do some plays. We're going to do some other stuff, some fun stuff before we even get to season three. So I'm excited. All right, cool. We'll edit all that down so that none of the things we talked about are in there. So we've just introduced the show. We skip over all that. Let's get to the questions, guys. We actually have people that really care about the show, and they wrote some really cool questions. So I'll pass these along. I've got sand timers in front of me. I've got
I thought
two.
You were joking when
no,
you said
no.
That.
these things are interminably long usually. So we're going to try to keep it nice and short for everybody. All right. This first one's from Katrina for the Q&A. How did the war between the Warehams and the Hampires begin, and will peace ever reign over them? Flip Jonathan.
Well, I'm not going to go into the backstory because we might get into that and another Fuzztown story possibly. I think I might have promised that last year with Brushtown stories, but we'll see. But will peace ever reign? Well, now that all the vampires are dead,
that's right.
It's kind of peace by default.
It is very peaceful.
Yeah,
the cold, dead piece of space. Yeah.
You know. So there you go.
But we might learn a little bit more next year. So that's cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. I think this next one's for Jonathan too. Next couple of ones for Jonathan. Sam writes, with how season two ended with the spaceships landing, I was wondering, whatever happened to the Toothstronauts stranded on the moon? Might they have a role in season three?
Well, I don't mind the Toothstronauts are in the show within the show.
That's
right.
I don't
think they're literally on the moon. I think that's like more of like a sketch that they did.
Are they like trapped in like a soundstage somewhere? Possibly?
I mean, probably.
They actually, did we ever release the brush? No, we didn't. We didn't. We have a great a hidden brush town. We got to record and release about.
Yeah, maybe now it's a fuzz town.
It's a fuzz town, but it's about the recording, the actress who played one of the
Toothstronauts. Yeah.
All right, Sam, we'll get you that. Same Sam. Sam again. Sorry. While on the subject of space, did the floss bombing of the crater creatures of Shumbabu kill all of them, or did some survive and have vowed to seek revenge against those that have tried to wipe out their race and allied themselves with those from Trojus?
Well, again, that's the show within the show.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So they probably didn't ally themselves with the Trogus because the Trogus are in the actual world of the show.
I really like but Sam.
Sam's great.
He's got more for you. Are you ready?
Again, you know, certain things are actual, certain things are fake actual. And then there's the fake actual
Sam,
actual.
Sam, you can't see this, but he actually has a whiteboard out now, and he's making a little diagram for
there's
you.
There's a lot of yarn involved.
I'm going to take some pictures and send it to you. This is great.
Yeah.
Same Sam, will there be any more Mombot and Childbot?
Probably.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their story is not done. Let's leave it at that. But that's they're two of my favorites. That was really cool. Hannah and Rebecca, what they did with those characters that literally have all of like 40 lines between them spread out over an entire season, especially the end, what Hannah does there makes me really happy. Still Sam, Stubby Subs has been mentioned a few times. Are they hiding a dark secret like Gigi Scrumptious?
I mean, everyone's hiding a dark secret, right?
But not like Gigi Scrumptious. That's pretty dark.
I mean, that's pretty dark and pretty involved. I think on the Patreon, there's a little Lyman Keys stuff where he does little small histories of things. I think he has one on Stubby Subs about the background. So if you're interested, you could check it out there.
That's on Patreon. I believe Sam is a Patreon subscriber.
I believe he is. So
I think you have more to write. I think he knows and he wants more.
But it might be in a Fuzztown story. If enough people are interested, it's always good to get.
He's literally writing this down right now, Sam. You just gave him an idea.
Yeah.
You got to sue for that. Same Sam again. Finally, not a question. However, a few years ago, Melissa Lusk and Matt Roy Berger, that's me, wrote, produced, performed the song Everybody Lies for a soundtrack to the book The Boy Who Couldn't Sleep and Never Had To by D.C. Pearson. The book is one of my all-time favorites, and that song is my favorite from the soundtrack. I didn't realize it until that was Melissa singing until during this season when I was on Bandcamp and I came across her page, and there I saw the song. Melissa plays my favorite character, Pangla, so I was completely shocked when I found out that my favorite podcast and my favorite book are linked by the actor of my favorite character. So I just wanted to give a big thank you to Melissa and Matt for being a part of my wacky musical taste far before Fall the House of Sunshine. And thank you all for making such a great show. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for listening. And that, I can't tell you how happy that makes me that like something weird we made 5 to 10 years ago has connected, because like our bands are so separate from this. But yeah, if you want to check out Melissa's work, she recorded with a band called Boy Girl Party for a while. She does her own solo stuff, and that is, fun fact, the only music video she's ever made for her own music. And extra fun fact, other than me, her, like two of our friends and two people we do not know that are in it, the most famous person in that video is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Rachel Bloom from the CW show. She's amazing. She's not a crazy ex-girlfriend. She was in a show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is also musical theater meets comedy. She's amazing. So check that out online. And thank you. DC Pearson's amazing. And that book is really cool too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, Fall of the House of Sunshine is offering episode commentary to Fable and Folly Plus supporters, still entirely ad-free. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
All right. For Marcus and Will, this one's from Colin. He just took a deep sigh over there. You didn't think you were going to be involved.
I remember reading the email with the questions.
Get ready. It's a hard hitter.
It's a surprise to me.
What's the process for creating the audio world of Sunshine? How do you make it sound the way it does? It's one thing to have people saying the words convincingly, but the world really comes to life with all of the sound effects and stuff. And I agree.
And stuff. It's the end stuff, I think.
It's the stuff that really makes the stuff come.
So I think we had a sort of like interesting challenge coming in because we didn't work on season one, and then we were like suddenly in charge of season two.
Thank you for that, by the way.
In terms of the world of sound. And I think the biggest thing was just like poring over the scripts a bunch and just like immersing ourselves in the world of the show and sort of trying to figure out like how things were supposed to sound and sort of like exploring that. I think also like the songs, just because they are like a decent chunk of each episode, it plays a lot into like setting the tone. So if I sort of like would listen to the music that was coming in, it was pretty obvious like how everything else was supposed to sound, because it just like creates like a world and a vibe, and you kind of just, and I'm running out of sand.
Your sand ran out, but that's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to talk about the music there.
If
there was like an 80s style song that would influence, like inform your decisions about sound design.
I don't know if it was that specific, like, oh, like the like like Fuzzy Forever didn't like specifically inspire like 80s sound design
up. Yeah.
Or yeah, but it was, I think it was more just like you sort of like feel something when you listen to the music or when you hear the words from the actors, and then like that feeling then sort of informs the sounds that I was choosing, or the sounds that Mutt had created at the start of the show. And it sort of just like when you found the thing that sounded right, I think like we all like would sort of hear it. And then when like the stuff didn't sound right, it was also very obvious.
thought it was so interesting the balance you found, because I don't work in visual stuff ever. I don't know if there's like a correlation to like doing film in this way too, but like there is a too much and there's a too little. So like, it's cool that you found a place that at least convinced one person to write.
Yeah. And I actually think it was interesting too, because it was actually not as far as I thought we had to go to like sometimes I remember when we first started, I was like thinking like, oh yeah, like Fuzz World, everything should sound like muted and there should be like sort of more fuzziness to everything. And then as we started getting into it, it's like, no, like you don't want to like step on what the actors are doing by like creating like, like going that extra like sort of thing. So like footsteps are just footsteps, and some things are just some things. And it was really like you left it to like the atmosphere. I think we spent a lot of time on ambiences.
Yeah.
And like finding the right sort of like ambience for each scene, which I think helped a little bit.
Yeah, but it sets the scene. I thought we had a conversation at one point. I feel like we were talking about like, well, if bullets can still kill people, they still sound like bullets.
Exactly.
Like, there is hard fuzz and soft fuzz. And it's like, I think the funny thing is in within the story, it's like he went to all this trouble to create this softer world. And it's like, it's a lot more nuanced. It's pretty much the same world. It's just made of fuzz.
Still sucks.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, I did the guns thing was like a thing that we spent a little bit of time with.
And is your microphone working?
He's doing bullets.
He's doing sound design.
Bullets out of fuzzy bullets. It came across. And Will, just to toss it your way too. I mean, like, I know, I don't know anyone who's listening knows how much of your work really transformed the songs, but it was a lot. Like, how did you make your decisions? I mean, did you just hear it when you heard the song? You knew what needed to come out, or how'd you get there with each one?
Yeah, I mean, your arrangements were really clearly defined by the time the music got to me. So I just kind of let that inspire what I wanted to do. And I mean, the decisions were pretty clear. It wasn't like some things that you mix that are a guessing game as to what the artist wants.
Sure.
Wants it to end up like. And I feel like you left me a lot of creative control. It wasn't.
Thank God.
There weren't times that you were hard on me. And you're like, oh no, it has to be.
Right.
Or, I don't know, but I get the feeling that we came from a similar musical background. We have some influences in common and are just kind of on the same page.
Your ability with guitars is something I've always wanted. Like the way you bring the guitars forward. They sound very like a wall of sound. It's great.
But, yeah, I just made them really loud.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. But I often would come back to Will with notes that were like, I was like, oh, do I need to write this other part? And he was like, well, what do you mean exactly? And I was like, well, you know, like something should come through here. And then you would find a frequency, I feel like, and like the horns that were already there would come through and it'd be like, oh, that's it. So it's like, you just have the ear for it.
Well, I think a lot of times you had made those decisions already and it was just not coming through in the early stages of the mix, where, you know, you did things in the arrangement with a certain intention. It sounded a lot different when you were working on it. So, and I didn't really pay much attention to that.
Oh yeah. When we were recording everybody. Those poor actors recording to like one guitar and a drum or something.
Well, like listening to your tracks, I didn't really listen to them before I started just like diving in and
I'm glad
and messing with stuff. But so I heard things differently to begin with. And then getting back to your vision for the song, I think cleared up most of those problems.
That's great. I mean, I'm really, really proud of the music this year. And I really thank you for that. That was amazing.
Yeah,
you guys, you guys are incredible. And yeah, so I hope that answers your question, Colin. Yeah, it kind of came about as we were going, but we're really proud of like the sound, obviously. We all talked about it at the top of the show. Jonathan, Different Sam asks, and I checked, it's different. Can we get the full show of Whole Moles and Mole Holes? The three songs we got really got stuck in my head.
No.
I will bring up to Different Sam that they got stuck. They probably got stuck in your head because they're all ripoff parodies of popular Broadway music.
So say you can see all of those shows
We're probably, yeah, you could, yeah, you could. We're probably going to do, first season we did an entire musical episode, second season we did two entire musical episodes. We're not going to do three for season three, but we'll figure something out. And I'm glad you liked it. Seems like before we even, when we got to episode 13, that was a big musical thing for people to start the show with the big musical number. But like before that, everybody was writing in about.
That was so good.
Oh, thanks, man.
When you sent me the message that was like the directive for that episode, and like what, like, and I like,
oh, to start with it.
And then I listened to it and it was like,
I like it. I'm glad we did it.
So cool. It was really cool.
We did a couple changes at the end where we broke the format a little bit, and I hope we can do that more in season three. So thanks, guys. All right. This one's from Maeve. First, this is a long one, but it's really cool. Maeve, firstly, thank you so much for having created this podcast. Once you get used to the complete madcap confusion, the incredible creativity and talent shines through. And before long, you'll see why we chose this question. And before long, you find yourself more emotionally involved than you ever would have thought. Quote, why am I coming to late work? Why am I coming in late to work? Because I want to repeat the opening song to episode 13. Just one more time to appreciate each of the characters' dilemmas, I ask myself. Truly well done to each and every one of you. Thanks, Maeve. My question is, why do I feel as if I'm the only person in the pre-fuzz and or fuzzed universe who adores this show? Where are the discussion groups, memes, fan art, and support groups? I don't even know who I'm backing anymore in this fraught fight between fuzz and tooth. Where are these people? My people, please help me. As with the finale coming in a few days' time, this is an older question. I am going to find myself as alone as Brushy has been for most of season two. Thank you, Maeve. That's really nice. We are we have a couple places where people meet up, and the audience really grew this year, thanks to our awesome cast passing it around and Fate Crafter Studios passing it around.
Fans in general.
And fans in general.
Yeah.
Twitter. So I think anytime someone posted on Twitter, apparently there was a tweet. I missed this, but Jonathan was telling me there was a tweet yesterday from Portland. What was it?
It was just someone said that they had been singing one of the songs in a grocery store, and then someone stopped them and asked if it was Fall of the House of Sunshine.
Which is bizarre. Yeah. We were freaking out about that before you got here.
So your people are in a grocery store in Portland.
That's really important. There's a lot of grocery stores in Portland. If you can get on the grocery store circuit.
The new Portland or old Portland?
Well, that's a good question.
That's an important question. I think the
City of Roses, right? No?
That's the new one.
City of Bridges. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I've never been to Portland. But yeah, Maeve, to answer your question, we're on Facebook. We have SoundCloud for as long as SoundCloud is still around. There is a subreddit.
For
Fall of the House of Sunshine.
So, yeah. Oh, I have to join that.
Yeah. I'm never on Reddit, but I'll tell you what, Melissa is always on Tumblr with Brandon Sanderson fan groups. So, and once I finish Oathbringer, I will be as well. So you can find us on Tumblr. That's where all the lyrics and such are. But honestly, anytime you post or post something on Facebook, I think that's probably where we're going to start to get followings. I really appreciate that. Yeah. It's not something we think about when we're making the show, but it's awesome.
And I know some shows have Slack channels, so if we had enough interest in that, we could make a Slack channel for fans of the show.
You know, we love Slack.
Oh, God, our Slack is crazy. I bet everybody's like that. That's like the new dad thing to say. Our Slack is off the chain.
There was some really funny happening on the Gimlet Slack today that, like, I was, like, sitting just laughing my ass off.
That's
I'll
great.
Tell you guys Slack about it off the...
Oh, oh, yeah. You can just bleep it out. Remember, we're just going to bleep things out. Maeve, thank you so much. That's really nice. Yeah, obviously, I've read these before, so I knew that was a really nice thing coming, but I wanted to post it. You're awesome. From Keith Chapman, my wife just texted me to tell me she's out of straight white men, so we might get some Melissa Lusk Pangla at the end.
She's going to find a bunch of them here.
Fresh out.
Yeah, fresh out. We got a bunch of straight white men here. Go see Young Gene Lee on Broadway, guys. Keith Chapman writes, is Lyman related? This is for Jonathan, obviously. Is Lyman related to Dan Kent in any fashion? They both seem subject to flights of fancy. Lyman Keyes, obviously, our wonderful historian of all things Brush and Fuzz.
Yeah, he likes to do... little podcast sometimes when we have off weeks, and he has a little stuff on the Patreon as well. He's currently doing recaps of the first season.
But we need to know, and I'm flipping this. You have 1 minute. Oh, it fell over.
I think Lyman has done a lot of his genealogical chart. I don't think he's connected to Dan Kent as far as he knows, but, you know, a lot of people in this universe tend to go on tangents, so.
I'm going to ask you something kind of where does Lyman come from?
Like new molar.
No, but like in the universe. I'm asking you personally, Jonathan.
You mean like his parents?
Okay, never mind. He's a beautiful character and I love him. And
Stardust, man.
Stardust,
like everybody
man.
Else.
We're all stars.
Thank you, Carl Sagan, over here. Appreciate that. It's all star stuff. All right. Again, another one for Marcus and Will. Lily asks, what was the recording process? This is a series of questions. What was the recording process like for the show? How long did it take? Because you could take that in a number of ways. And what did everyone do? How long did it take? She's really interested in how long did it take? And when did you finish? Thank you, Lily. I'm not making fun of your questions. You're really interested in how long did it take? What was the recording process like? You guys were both in the studio when we were doing dialogue and songs.
Yeah. So we spent, was it like 2.5 weeks, basically?
Two weeks in December and then like pickup date. One pickup date in January, one pickup date in April two pickup dates in April to do the massive episode 7 and 11.
So that was just like 8-9 hours a day every day. Just actors, like revolving door of actors coming in.
Amazing.
And in groups. It wasn't like we had an actor and then another actor. They were actually interacting in like actors do.
Yeah, and the room is pretty small. It's like my like studio room in my apartment, which is, I don't know, like 7 by 5.5. Like it's not
with a big desk
all.
In it for your computer.
So half of it's my desk.
Everybody was so cool about it too. And we had people like Broadway people coming in. I mean, people, movie stars. Yeah, movie stars.
It was really hot because our heater was on the fritz. And we couldn't open the windows because then we would let in sound from outside.
Rogue sound.
Yeah, not the good sound. Mm-hmm. Only the good actor sound.
And actors, all the other actors who were waiting to do their scenes were on the other side of a paper-thin door.
Yep.
Very quietly, like reading through their pages.
Or then sometimes not very quietly.
Oh, that's true.
And Diana would bang on the door.
That's right. That was usually me like talking to other actors. Like, what's going on? Are you happy to be here?
Well, yeah, because I mean, that was the amazing thing. It's like everyone that came through was like just so awesome and friendly. And so there was always interesting conversation happening, like just, you know, right around the corner. And everyone was really cool.
A lot of people knew each other, weirdly.
Yep.
And then you guys would trade off. Like you did the first 2 days by yourself, and then Will was in.
And then I was like, I can't do 8 hours nonstop. I thought I could.
For an entire week straight.
And yeah. Then, then we started switching. Yeah.
Which was great. Cause like later on, like it would be like mid May or something. We'd be doing an episode and one of you would be like, wait, what happened?
Cause we also did it completely out of order, which made it really interesting. I think
easier to schedule that way. So
we started we did a lot of first ladies. I feel like in the first half, maybe.
Yeah,
like I remember like Rachel Flynn came in on the earlier
the amazing
side.
Amazing Rachel Flynn, yeah.
Huff, my bud. I also work on another podcast with Rachel sometimes, so that was fun. but I just remember recording her stuff and I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, it's weird.
But I remember it all started to come together, you know.
Yeah, in the end of week two, you were like, I understand what's happening. Because, we had stuff where I think Diana had to do everything at the beginning.
Yep.
And then Daniel Isaac, who played Dr. Lou, who's in
they
of her
were never
scenes,
in the same room.
They were
together.
Never, he could not make it till the end because he was finishing Billions.
And didn't it turn out that they were like friends and
they were
knew each
great
other?
Friends. And when Diana didn't know till she got in the room that he was playing Dr. Lou, and she was like, I can't believe we're not going to, we could print a picture of him and put him up there if you wanted. So she did all of her stuff. She went through her entire arc pretty much in order because she had the first 2 days to her,
Pretty much by herself.
Yeah, by herself.
She did the scenes with
Puma
to
do all the Feltina stuff and some of the Fuzzo stuff. Because
being
Jared
in the room for those scenes too was
When the three of them are together too, it was Jared, Puma, and Diana doing all their stuff. It was really nice because they just fire. Jared was amazing. Jared was like won the award for most days he came in just to help out on other people's scenes that he was in. Like he spread himself out. But we generally tried to keep everybody bundled up. So then Daniel came in at the very, very end and we were doing scenes like at the end. And I remember one of you guys looking at me and being like, I think I finally understand what's going on. Because like the second half of like all the scenes were falling into place.
All like one-sided time travel conversations.
Well, it is time travel, so that's fair. That's allowed.
Somehow that...
The thing is, the show's just as funny if it's all out of order and you have no idea where it's going or what's going on.
It might actually be funnier, sadly.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see the master cut. On top of all of that, we were recording songs, which...
That's right, you know, within everything else. And we only got the one day in January we got one day behind. So we had to book the Buddy Project and do the extra day there.
That worked out.
That was amazing because it was a couple people just came in and like knocked out. They already had their date.
Emily and Molly.
Broadway's Molly Hagen.
I honestly think we should at some point release your version of Fight of the Century.
Absolutely not.
No, it was so good.
The audio was... John Valicanta did an amazing job on that. He actually sang it.
Fabulous.
What I do is enter falsetto at many points, and you can hear the clicks of different takes coming in and out because I can't hold my breath that long.
I remember like it was like the perfect space because I feel like in the apartment, you wouldn't have necessarily... It would have been like harder to like get that like kind of silly with it.
Yeah.
And like just like let go. But like because you're in the studio... And there was like the glass between us. And
oh,
like,
did we record a version of it, of me doing it in the studio?
Yeah,
no,
that's when we did
this.
It.
Thank God and it was John like, came in.
It was
thank
it was,
God John Valicanta came in.
I thought it was great. I remember when we were recording it, and you're like, I don't know. And we're like, no, like this is awesome.
I'm really, Jonathan, thank you for calling your friend John Valicanta.
maybe that'll be an internal.
Release.
There you go.
On the Slack, if you
Patreon,
guys want to get on our
Patreon exclusive.
Yes, this is. I mean, you were in you were both for scenes and for music, right? So you did a little bit of everything, even though you weren't going to mix the scenes themselves. That was cool. You gave good notes. I remember that because I did a lot of my singing with you on like weird days. You gave me good notes and stuff. It was good. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure everything was like understandable.
That's a really important part of podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't see anything, so
my singing style is very much muddling through things. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know, people sound different when they're talking from when they're singing, and so one of the things I was looking out for, especially, was like knowing who different people were that were in scenes together, in songs together.
That's a good point. Well, thank you for doing that.
Especially trying to sing with a character like Pangla, or you know, some of these voices.
Having never worked on a musical podcast, things you never think about.
We figured it out a lot. To answer your question, we figured out a lot on the fly. These two guys did all of the recording, and then Rob came in to help mix some of the scenes. And we went from December and January, the one January pickup date, that got us mostly the way through the season. And then about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before episode 7 was supposed to come out, we got the amazing Andrew Radford Butler.
Was it that close?
And Jordan Gelber. Broadway's Jordan Gelber. I keep saying Broadway. Broadway's Jordan Gelber came in and did
Elementary's Bravo
episode.
Elementary's
Jordan Gelber.
Blind Spot
did their stuff in April, and then everything was week to week. Even up until episode 15, we were like working at least the weekend before every episode, getting stuff done.
So. In retrospect.
Well, we had great plans to get ahead by a couple of weeks.
We did. Yeah. And then,
you know, I think a little bit too, like part of it, at least like towards the end, like I was like super wanting to have had the final episode done like well before we actually released it. But I had underestimated how long the sound design was going to take.
It all sounds good. That's all that matters. There's literally only one.
It took just as long the first season too. I mean,
we were every week we were working. Yeah. There's literally only one mistake we ever made, and that was not adding the underscore music for Dan Kent back into that one monologue
only
in episode
3.
It was the only mistake we made, and you guys made it. So I'm still going to hold it into season 3.
I know it's better.
Next question.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Next question. Jonathan wrote to me, we got this very legitimate comment on our SoundCloud from today's episode. Sick sounds you got. My colleague would like your taste, and I dig your style. Please post this track on his page. He has quite a big following who would love this. Okay, I'm going to have to take care of this later. That's a SoundCloud comment we got today. That's great.
That's good. I think we also got somebody on our Facebook page who says he can get us many follows and listens.
That's great. We need many follows and listens. Love the game 29, subject fan art. The message says, hello. There's no punctuation. Hello, I have fan art of the shield with the tooth and the toothbrushes, and I would really love to show you. Smiley face. Love the game 29. First of all, I do too. Second of all, send
what
it our way.
What number would you say you love the game though?
Probably not 29, maybe 26 or 27 though.
That's still pretty high.
Seriously though, if you have any of the artwork, send it our way. We're going to post it. I mean, like we're totally infatuated with ourselves. And actually, I just love to see that
see fan art. Yeah
that's awesome. If you like us enough, please send anything you want to send to us. Is it podmusical@gmail.com
or on Twitter. You can tag us there, Facebook again. Yeah. And again, if we get the Slack channel or not, we can make a little thing. But yeah, please. We love to see fan art.
Yeah, we'll post any of it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So thank you so much. Love the game 29.
Who makes the artwork for the episodes?
Me.
It's lovely. It's
really great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not sure how many people see it. If you're not on SoundCloud, I don't know if you see it at all.
You see it?
They come episode by episode on iTunes?
On my podcatcher, it does, yeah.
Okay, cool, because I lost
which,
to
which
on
app
iTunes.
Do you use?
Overcast, I think.
I listen on iTunes, and it does not at all.
Sorry? I thought I was talking at them.
Yeah, no, iTunes doesn't do a specific...
All right, quick hits for Jonathan here. These are all from Laura Evans from Surrey, UK. She gives her email address, which I'm not giving out. It says cues for the Q&A, and this is a really awesome message. Another awesome message. Thank you guys so much for writing in. So this is kind of the end. Quick hits for Jonathan. Hello, my girlfriend introduced me to Fall of the House of Sunshine, and now I'm low-key obsessed, even more so than her. Anyway, I have lots of questions. Hope you can answer some of them. You ready, Jonathan?
All right, I'm flipping over this thing.
Thank you. This is going to be on me then, too. One, the introduction and subsequent demise of the Y team absolutely floored me. I love how you set up and subsequently dismantled the typical hero versus villain narrative. Did you purposely set out to subvert this type of narrative?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't die by accident.
Was that your goal, though, in doing it, or were you just trying to do a big...
No, I think I was playing around again with the trope of setting up this hero thing. And I think there's, that's sort of based on different things. Again, the idea of getting this team together and then just sort of failing right off the bat.
Yeah, which is the only reason Dan Kent gets involved, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that the world is increasingly more really brilliant, wonderful, smart, talented women. And the answer that why Dan Kent is involved is literally 14 people just died and he's all we got. So he comes back in. Two, when the world turned to fuzz, what became of agriculture? This is an amazing question. Commerce, without the need for certain resources, e.g. food, are the fuzz now living in a post-capitalism utopia?
No, it's still capitalist to some extent. There just had to be a reorganization of labor. And especially with the unending war, it was a good way for them to ship off people into the front.
That's right.
And again, there was a sort of reshuffling of all sort of commerce that happens with that. But we get into that a little bit in Fuzztown Stories.
Hopefully. You can literally get Jonathan started about the world building in this. And I want to hear you talk more about the commerce. Yeah. Not on this podcast.
But it's not utopia, but it's not dystopia either. I think there's things that are better in the fuzz world and there's things that are worse. So. Yeah.
It's just topia.
It's just topia.
It's fruitopia. Everyone's favorite beverage.
Dinotopia.
Dinotopia.
Dinotopia. Number three, did Professor Y's alopecia protect her from the fuzz?
Unclear.
Number four, how do the non-fuzzed feed themselves? That's a good point if most of the world has turned, but not all the world has turned, right?
No, 80%. Plus there's in the
old
camps.
Old pudding factories.
Well, and there's old pudding factories, but there's also the forced labor camps where they have some sort of... agricultural process as well as smoothie making.
That's right.
Lots of smoothies.
Some lands have survived. So Jersey probably has a lot of farms in it for that purpose. Number five, how did Feltina and Huffalumpicus meet? Please tell me that's going to be in a Fuzztown story.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they met.
They're two of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Hufflepuff is my favorite character.
I mean, there's a certain point, too, about how deeply you want to get into everybody's backstory. I'd like to leave some mystery, too. I mean,
sure.
You don't necessarily need to see the young adventures of, like, say, Darth Vader, necessarily.
Their eyes met over the bowl of combs. Did you just, like, say that the entire first trilogy of Star Wars wasn't necessary? Because, come on. Did their eyes meet over that free bowl of combs?
I need to know what happened to, like, I want to know what happened to Neem Nub before.
Question number. So you're not going to tell us how Feltina and Hef met? It's fine. I just want to know that. All right, cool. So, Laura, I want to hear your fan fiction. Question. I'm in a real Star Wars mood right now. The words spoken at the end of Trogus Among Us, Gum Buxom Squee Solel, are the very same words muttered by Crazy Dan Kent. Will season 3 reveal the significance of these words?
Yes.
That's awesome. Also, I just want to mention that I changed those words around slightly to fit my song in season 1.
There you go.
Yeah, I changed the whole course of the river. Number 7, Pangla's transition from male to female was met with universal acceptance and zero stigma and or dead naming. Dead naming, of course, is if you use a trans person's previous name that they do not use anymore. Was this an intentional narrative choice to model a more tolerant attitude to the transgender community or simply the result of Clowney Brown's deep work to instill the message that gender isn't binary?
Both, I'd say. Plus, you have to remember, in the fuzz world, almost everyone sort of transitioned to being fuzz. So, you know, gender has become even less.
I love it. Gender is over if you want it.
Yeah. It's a post-gender society.
I really like that. That's my favorite part of season 2 when you wrote that, is just literally no one questions it. And there's one moment where during the coup, Fuzzo goes, says something like, you says to his mom, like, you know, something about my brother. Or, do you mean Brushy? And she goes, yeah, who else would I be talking about? And he goes, I don't know. I'm pretty upset right now. It's literally the only time there's any question. I love it. And there isn't in the end. Laura, thank you for these questions. Number 8, the Trogus were known to the CIA. Did anyone in the Fuzz world foresee the ramifications of ceasing pudding production? And if so, did they attempt to warn Emperor Fuzzo?
I mean, there a lot happened afterwards, and I think, you know, a lot of those files were lost when they turned to Fuzz, so there might have been some people, but I think overall it was a small number of people who knew about the Trogus anyway. Like, but definitely some people did, because you look at the crazies that Dan Kent met,
mm-hmm.
The hippies seem to know that there's something going on.
Yeah.
So there's some people that are sort of touched by the Trogus and have some sort of extra sensory awareness that they're coming.
I like even in a world where, like, an entire world has changed to Fuzz and, like, the entire world's changed around you, there are still people that probably are like, there are UFOs out there. And there are people who are like, come on, man. A bomb that turns everybody to Fuzz. Okay, but UFOs. Number 9, it sounds.
Did you say a bomb or Obama?
Obama, yeah. Oh,
I heard Obama sounded, too, I heard but too,
this right? isn't InfoWars. I'm not starting anything about what Obama okay. did to the Fuzzed. I can't believe I just mentioned InfoWars on our podcast. I love Obama.
I'm going to bleep it out.
Yeah. Thank you. Please.
Just bleep it out like as a swear word.
Yeah, please do. Number 9, it sounds like Fuzzo is depressed. Did he ever consider seeing a therapist for his unresolved abandonment issues? Or did the pressure of being a leader force him to neglect his own self-care?
I don't know if he ever saw a therapist. He probably should have. And if, you know, if you're feeling like that, you should, you know, seek professional help.
I'm excited to see where he goes in season 3, because I think, yeah, he's going to be around some smart people and hopefully, you know. Number 10, is this really the end of Brushy again? And I'm interested in this too.
Willikers. Well, we had a lot of trouble with the actor who played Brushy.
Yeah,
so
he was a real
asshole.
He was
really hard to deal with. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Never again.
I mean, Brushy's, I'd say, pretty dead.
He plays a part of all of us, is though what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because he was in the air, the particles, and everybody breathed him in.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the sense that, like, every 10th breath you have is like the breath that Julius Caesar had.
Jesus
in that
God.
Sense.
Laura, thank you so much. He says, thank you for all your brilliant work. Laura, Surrey, UK, thank you very much,
thank
Laura.
You so much. Those are wonderful.
And then this is the very last one, Matt, for Matt and Jonathan, Marcus and Will. Sarah Hemi online says, I just started the pod musical and what is this and why was I not listening to it before? I don't know, but thank you for listening now. That makes me really happy.
Well, I mean, it didn't exist a lot longer than it's existed.
That's true. Don't blame yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Sarah, it's really like in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. In terms of being with the curve, she's not really far behind it.
No, that's good. Well, that's it. And I'm sure I've been on too long, except maybe if this is only 10 minutes long, that means that Marcus earned his keep by like really editing it down. And we appreciate that, Marcus.
I'm definitely cutting that.
We have some questions for you. What would you like to see us do next in the Sunshine Universe or otherwise? Would you like more Brushtown stories because we're doing Fuzztown now? Would you want more mini musicals, more Why Pewter poetry? Just write us. Do you have a t-shirt that you're waiting for us to make so you can wear it? Email us. We're designing a Meow Mix, the cat with a bow tie t-shirt, and a Have a Sun Tabulous by Cuspid of a Day t-shirt soon. And we have some other ideas, but anything you have and you want to see, like, honestly, we'll make it. We love this world, and we're going to be in it for another couple of years at least. So send us at podmusical@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at thepodmusical.
Yeah.
Yep. Like I said, we're on Tumblr.
I'm going to send a bunch of t-shirts.
I love it. T-shirt ideas are my favorites because I make those. Just to wrap up, we got a Patreon. If you're really into the show and you like it and you never want to hear a Q&A episode this long again, just donate $5 to Patreon and we'll know that if we get a $5 donation, it means you never want to hear a Q&A episode this long again. But if you do want to hear a Q&A episode that's longer, just
$10.
I don't know how to do this. We're on Facebook, we're on Tumblr, we're on Twitter, we're on TeePublic. So we make a lot of our money. We are on Bandcamp.com, where Will and My Music is up. We really appreciate it when you listen to that. I think we're going to be on SoundCloud. Oh, not SoundCloud. We're on SoundCloud. We're going to be on Spotify soon.
Hopefully, yeah.
We put it up there and everything like that. We'll be on iTunes soon. So please, anything you want to share, you want to post, really appreciate it. If you want to donate on Patreon, that's what makes this show possible. And it's going to, like I said, Jonathan and I have some more ideas we're going to be putting out in the next year, and that will make those ideas possible.
And we'll try to really keep Patreon, give you nice exclusives. There's a little short podcast from Lyman Keys. There's audio commentaries. We'll try to keep doing other stuff. Maybe we'll do like Spotify playlists or something.
There's sonnets being written for all of the Patreons. Yeah, and those will come out on the podcast feed later this year. So you get stuff written for you, especially for you when you're a Patreon. So anything else you guys want to add before we get out of this hot boxed room?
I had a prepared statement, but
that's right. Your lawyer made you bring that. I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot though.
That's great. You can catch Jonathan and I doing Fuzztown later this fall. You can catch Marcus in 5 to 10 years with his found recordings. You can catch Will Doc's Basement. Is that probably the best place to catch you?
Yeah, Doc's Basement.
DocsBasement.com for all your audio needs.
Is there AC
stuff
in the basement?
We if there is, we should go there right
someday.
Now. when my wife gets back, I'm going to record her saying something as Pangla to close up the episode, and we'll call it a night. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I'm Matt.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Will.
I'm Rob.
And if you can tell us all apart, you can win a prize.
You can win a prize. Four straight white dudes in a room. Rock and roll. Thank you guys so much for listening.
So much to write a play about that.
And have a Suntabulous by Cuspid of a Day.
The Fall of the House of Sunshine is a Roy Gold production. It was written by Jonathan Goldberg with music by Matt Roy Berger. Find out more about the show and cast at podmusical.com. Find out more about shoes at your local cobbler. Seriously, though, you could use a shine. Thanks for listening and have a Suntabulous by Cuspid of a Day.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.